The Gist. In a recent video, Jared Younger's face lit up when he described a long COVID study that measured the energy levels available in the brain. See the video in the blog. While many studies have indirectly suggested that energy deficits exist in the brains of people with long COVID, ME/CFS, etc., no one has directly measured them until now. The German group used a technique that can assess the phosphorus and its metabolites that make up ATP. ATP refers to adenosine triphosphate. The three phosphates in ATP are where ATP's energy is stored. The study particularly looked at the ATP phosphocreatine ratio. While ATP provides most of the energy for our cells, it's difficult to move ATP from the mitochondria to the place in the cell that needs it. To overcome this problem, an enzyme called creatine kinase adds creatine to ATP, turning it into phosphocreatine. Phosphocreatine, or PCR, then transports ATP via something called the creatine kinase shuttle to where it's needed in the cell. PCR is then converted back into ATP. The authors focused on phosphocreatine and ATP concentrations. In a normal brain, they should be roughly equal, but they were significantly reduced in a large part of the brain called the cingulate cortex in the long COVID patients. It might seem that the reduced ATP concentrations found relative to phosphocreatine would indicate mitochondria were having trouble producing ATP. While the authors acknowledged that the mitochondria might be having some problems, they concluded that the main problem involved the creatine kinase shuttle. Phosphocreatine concentrations were increased relative to ATP because it was not being used up. ATP was being created, but once it was converted into phosphocreatine and then shuttled to another part of the cell, something went wrong. In other words, a transport problem existed. That the cingulate cortex was the hub of the energy problems in the brain was more than intriguing. The cingulate cortex, particularly the anterior cingulate cortex, has shown up in ME/CFS brain imaging studies many times. Jared Younger has said that if he could affect any region of the brain, it would be the cingulate cortex. Problems with the cingulate cortex could make everything more effortful. Bigger studies are clearly needed, and Jared Younger is getting the tools needed to do one. If these findings are validated, creatine supplementation is an interesting and apparently safe option. Creatine via phosphocreatine plays a major role in getting ATP from the mitochondria to where it's needed in the cell. If the creatine kinase shuttle is lacking sufficient creatine, then creatine supplementation could help. That said, other problems that don't involve creatine could be contributing to the CK shuttle issue. Still, some studies have found low brain creatine levels, and one ME/CFS study found them in the same region of the brain. A small Oxford 2024 ME/CFS creatine supplementation study, and you can see a link to that in the text version of the Gist, it found creatine supplementation, 16 grams of creatine monohydrate for 6 weeks, increased brain creatine in cingulate prefrontal regions and improved fatigue and some cognitive measures. A small Japanese study also found that creatine and glucose, 8 grams of creatine monohydrate and 3 grams of glucose per day for 8 weeks, reduced several long COVID symptoms, including body aches, breathing problems, difficulties concentrating, headache, and general malaise. Creatine supplementation isn't going to be the be-all and end-all of any of these diseases, but it might help. If you're interested in creatine supplementation, check out Courtney Craig's Health Rising blog here, and of course there's a link to that in the text version of the Gist. Support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. At this point in the text version of the Gist, you will see a link where you can choose to give a one-time donation or set up a monthly donation. Thanks for listening.